Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to Web Sleuths Radio. I am so glad you're with us this Sunday night. And joining us now, oh, by the way, I'm Tricia. Hi, nice to meet you. I'm the owner of Web Sleuths. But I want to get right to it because this guy knows everything. And the less I say, the more time he has to talk, and he's much more interesting than I could ever hope to be. That is Levi Page. Levi Page hosts his Crime and Scandal podcast weekly. And Levi, welcome to Web Sleuths Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tricia.
Okay. It was a little more than a year ago that Sherry Papini, housewife, a gorgeous woman, went jogging, Northern California, and she disappeared. 3 weeks later, she shows up, bruised, kind of battered, and tells everybody that two Hispanic females kidnapped her. Now, since that day, most people do not believe Sherry Papini. What we did on Web Sleuths in the beginning of the Sherry Papini case is we went with what law enforcement was saying. And law enforcement in the beginning was very adamant that Sherry Papini was telling the truth. She was kidnapped. Just recently, we said, you know, even though she hasn't been called out by the police, basically, or the police haven't really come out and said they don't believe her, we've got to open the discussion up because it's just too weird. There's just too many bizarre things. And Levi, on Web Sleuths and everywhere I go, there I can't find one person that believes Sherry Papini was jogging, kidnapped by two Hispanic females, let go 3 weeks later after she was beat up. Now, there are so many theories. In fact, we even had somebody that was close to Sherry Papini posting at one point. And this person was saying that they believed Sherry was telling the truth. This was in the beginning of the case. But I haven't seen that person around Web Sleuths for a while. And I would like that person to come back if possible and find out what they think now. I do think if we took a poll, Levi, it would be 100% of people do not believe Sherry Papini was kidnapped, or at least say part of her story is not truthful. Levi, give us what you think happened and just your whole spiel. I can't wait to hear this.
Well, I don't know what happened to Sherry Papini because I don't have all of the information that law enforcement has, but I do know that there is a lot of things about and aspects of Sherry Papini's story that doesn't make a lot of sense. For instance, she claims that she was jogging when she was abducted by two Hispanic females. However, her iPhone was discovered on the ground, and it had her earbuds wrapped around the iPhone. Now, if you're jogging, she was listening to music or audio of some sort in her ears. Why would the earbuds be wrapped around the iPhone? You would think in a struggle that the earbuds would come off, that mm-hmm. or that they would just fall randomly on the ground. They would not be wrapped around the phone. And what attacker is going to take the phone and then wrap the earbuds around them? They're not going to take the time to do that. Neither is a victim of an attack.
Okay.
So that was extremely
that's one thing.
The second thing is she accused two females, which is really odd.
Mm-hmm.
And she accused two Hispanic people, and a lot of people are saying, you know, that reminds them of other people that have accused minorities, and then that turned out to be
Susan Smith.
Yes. And mm-hmm. she also claimed that during this struggle she obtained an injury to her foot. And law enforcement, a police sergeant that's investigating this case has spoken out to the local news media there in California and has said that when she was examined that there was no injuries to her foot. So that's an inconsistency on her part. So there's a lot of issues regarding her story. Does it make sense? And people say, oh, that's unbelievable that someone would spin a tale like this or create a hoax, but there have been women that have created hoaxes similar to this Remember Jennifer mm-hmm. Wilbanks in 2005? That was a woman an attractive woman that lived
yes.
in the Atlanta suburbs. And
the
she
bride, wasn't she?
Was about to get married. She was about to
right.
get married, and she went missing. And this was a very mm-hmm. high-profile case. Her family was frantically looking for her. Law enforcement spent a lot of money looking for her. And then she turns up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And she claimed a Hispanic mm-hmm. man and woman abducted her and raped her. And then during interrogation, she finally admitted that she made it all up, that she took the Greyhound bus to Albuquerque, New Mexico, because she was nervous about her wedding. She got cold feet, and now she is known as the runaway bride. So there
That's
have been
right.
people that have made up these types of stories, and I think that, you know, if Sherry Papini is telling the truth, then a lot of people are going to look like major a-holes, because can you imagine if she is telling the truth and then having all these people on the internet doubt her story? But it seems that maybe law enforcement could doubt her story. They're pointing out the inconsistencies regarding statements that she's made not matching up to the injuries that she had.
Mm-hmm.
We also had law enforcement state during a press conference in May that people in the community have nothing to be fearful of.
See, that's
now,
a
you would
big
think
one.
That
that's
if her captors have not been caught, then that community should be scared, because that could happen to them if it could happen to Sherry Papini, who is, you know, a normal, everyday housewife in the area. So
right.
statements by law enforcement are seeming to point in the direction of they may doubt her as well.
Well, now, in the beginning, I know they were very adamant about her being truthful, about Sherry Papini having injuries. And that's why this has been a very emotional case that has brought a lot of anger bubbling to the surface on Web Sleuths. We always try and be victim-friendly, meaning we understand the victim. We don't want to cause any more pain. However, first and foremost, we are a discussion forum. That is the number one thing we are. And just barely behind number one is we are victim friendly. Sometimes the two absolutely collide and clash, as in this case with Sherry Papini. When we made the rule that, hey, you know, we're going with what law enforcement says, they believe her, so let's start trying to find the suspects. Well, that made a lot of people angry. And then there came a point, Levi, where I had to say, look, this is, We've got to allow now for this discussion because of what was coming out and because of some inconsistencies. And also, she has a bit of a past as well, kind of creating drama, if you will. Now, one of the questions, and this is something that I'm very perplexed about. It has been a year. She's been home for a year. They just recently released sketches. Why is that? Can you come up with any plausible explanation?
And they've also released the surveillance video, of Sherry Papini 150 miles north of where she vanished, where she was released from her captors, according to her, and she is running through the parking lot of a Jehovah Witness worshiping center. And then
right.
she goes into I-10, I think, is the interstate. Don't quote me on that. And that is when a driver sees her and calls the police. And that is where she was eventually found and discovered and returned to her family after that. And it is odd that they're now releasing this information. What I'm thinking that they're trying to do is they're trying to put the case back into the media, into the public spotlight, in order to maybe get more tips.
Oh, that could be. And you have to wonder, Levi, is there more video footage? Is there more security, closed-circuit cameras somewhere
and
that they haven't released yet?
And law enforcement probably knows a lot more than we know about. And you mentioned earlier that she has a past, and I think it's important not to gloss over that, because she had self-harmed herself and accused her mother and called the police and accused her
right.
mother. So she has a history of making herself
making
a victim.
Making stuff up.
And then
right.
lying and accusing other people, which is something that she's accused of doing in this case. So we have a
mm-hmm.
pattern here. So when you have that pattern, when I learned that she has a history of that, that's when my thinking about this started to shift and thinking, wow, this is really suspicious. And a lot
mm-hmm.
of people, a lot of people have latched onto that as saying, wow, how can you believe
this
story now?
Right. And unfortunately, it's just like the fable, the boy who cried wolf. If she is telling the truth, it's too bad because of her past. Most people won't believe her. I don't know. I've just got this nagging feeling, Levi. And believe me, I have nagging feelings hanging all over me. It's really ugly. But in this case, I just think there's something is truthful about it. I'm not saying she's telling the truth for the whole story. But there's something there. Because where did she go for 3 weeks? She showed up, I believe, in the same clothes that she was wearing when she disappeared. She was beaten and bruised. So all of that part is true. She disappeared for 3 weeks and came back home, the same clothes, battered and bruised. Now, it could be something that perhaps somebody in her family is in trouble with some criminal element, and they kidnapped her as a way to get their attention, and maybe whatever it was, they worked out and they let her go. I just don't know. I am baffled by this case, and I shouldn't be, because normally when I look at things like this, I just go, okay, here's the deal, blah, blah, blah. And I can't do this here for some reason, Levi. I think Sherry Papini's case, like you said, there's more to it, and I just feel there's an element of truth
really,
in her story.
It's really hard to imagine that someone would inflict that amount of injuries. This is not, you know, cutting yourself,
right?
You know, on the arms. This is, you know, she was beaten, and she was
mm-hmm.
beaten horrifically. So
right.
it's hard to imagine someone going through that, and I agree with you. There may be some truth to her story. I'm not sure if it's somebody was in trouble and she was taken for some reason and then released. A lot of people think that maybe she was having an affair. And
uh-huh.
this is just pure speculation, no facts to back it up. And she
sure.
went out to have a fling with this person and it turned sour. And he
mm-hmm.
turned some... He did some 50 Shades of Grey shit to her. And
got it.
And that's what happened. And she's not saying that because she's married and doesn't want her husband to know. And a lot of people
mm-hmm.
have speculated that maybe she was having an affair, because what's also been released recently is that right before she went missing, excuse me, she was texting for a month and up until the days before she went missing, a man from Detroit, Michigan that she had known, and he was saying that he was coming to California, I think, for a business trip. He wasn't necessarily
mm-hmm.
in her area, and they were talking about meeting, but apparently they never did. And
mm-hmm.
law enforcement from Redding, California, went to Detroit and interviewed him and apparently have cleared him. But that...
Mm-hmm.
makes people think that what if she was having an affair and she went to meet someone and things turned sour, and she's not saying
mm-hmm.
that because she's, you know, married with children.
Right.
That's a possible scenario in this case. And another scenario is, and Pat Brown, Criminal Profiler, I interviewed her on my show, that's coming soon, and she
mm-hmm.
says that she thinks that that is a possibility. And she also says that Sherry Papini could have Munchausen syndrome, which is a syndrome where people
right.
do things to themselves, get them sick, give themselves injuries, and they do it for the attention. that they get mm-hmm. afterwards. And we hear this a lot, Munchausen by proxy, where mothers do this to their children, and they
right.
make them their children ill, and they do it for attention, that this could be the same sort of thing that she could have been doing, all, but she was doing it to herself, and she was doing it for the attention. But we don't see Sherry Papini a lot out in the media.
No.
She's not,
and
she's
that's...
not speaking out a lot. She's not on all the shows like, you know, Nancy Grace 2020, Dateline. We don't see that. So maybe she's not speaking out because she did not suspect that people would doubt her story. Because when she first went missing, the only people that were really doubting her story were, I think, people on Reddit and Twitter mm-hmm. and social media. And people on social media will doubt everything, you know, whether
well,
or not
course.
We really landed on the moon, whether 9/11
exactly.
was real or not. But as more facts come out, more and more people started to doubt her. So maybe that's why she's not basking in any sort of spotlight regarding this.
Well, and that
or it
is
could be she's
smart.
Just telling the truth. There's a
exactly.
lot of scenarios.
There is. And again, this is a big problem I have with the internet, and a big problem that I have in general, and Web Sleuths is, you know, I don't want to say part of the problem, because we do our best not to be part of the problem, but when you accuse somebody that you don't know and you're sitting behind your computer, your words have power. They're powerful. They hurt. They can rip people apart. And you don't think twice about it because you're typing and calling her names and saying horrible things about her. And you don't understand, I shouldn't say you don't understand, but maybe people don't realize how that tears a human being apart and can make them suicidal. Now, maybe she's deserving of it. That's the thing. And it's driving me crazy because so many people have followed this case for the full year and more. And they started out wanting to help. They wanted to find her. And it brings people together if somebody's been kidnapped and it's been publicized. Everybody wants to help find them and bring out the best in people, and it's compassionate and caring. And then it turns ugly like this, and I just hate it. So the other thing, too, Levi, why normally something like this, a kidnapping like this, would be for ransom.
Mm-hmm.
Why no ransom? What was the purpose of the kidnapping, to hold on to her for 3 weeks, not contact anybody, and let her go? There is a huge piece of this puzzle missing.
That's the mystery. I mean, it's hard to imagine two women just kidnapping someone for the hell of it and
mm-hmm.
beating her for what reason? What are they getting out of it? And then release her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was
exactly.
what's the motivation behind it? That's the mystery here. I mean, usually mm-hmm. if a woman is kidnapped, it's by a man and he wants to rape her. They're a rapist. Mm-hmm. They're a predator. And a lot of
exactly.
times they don't get out alive from those situations. Extremely
mm-hmm.
rare that they get out alive. And that's the problem here, is nobody can sort out a motive for why two women would target this mother and take her 150 miles away from where she lived and
mm-hmm.
beat the hell out of her and then just release her. Why did they release her? And
exactly.
It's just bizarre. It's extremely bizarre. And there has been DNA collected in this case. DNA of Sherry Papini.
Yep, and the thing with the DNA is there's male DNA there, too, and it's not her husband's. And I'm just reading that the captors did provide her with different clothing. And on that clothing was a profile of a male. Now, again, everyone's got to realize that clothing could have been a million places,
yeah.
and that DNA could be from some guy in Japan.
Who picked it up in the store, you know, the
exactly.
person checking her out.
Exactly. So that, to me, is not that big of a deal just because it was clothing given to her, no clue where it was. So when I said she was found in her same clothing, that was not correct. I do correct myself when I can. But, yeah, and the police are saying, well, I believe the quote is, they're still holding out for the DNA, that maybe they can match it someday. They haven't matched it so far. So perhaps the DNA will solve the case. And then again, we have to accept the fact that we may never know what happened to Sherry Papini. But, oh, Levi, I just hope she isn't
lying. And you know what I forgot to mention, Tricia?
What's that?
She claims that she was jogging. Sherry Papini claims that she was jogging, but her neighbors have spoken out and about this, and they said that they've never witnessed Sherry Papini jogging before.
Really?
So that,
yeah,
that's,
I mean,
odd.
That's...
I mean, it would be different if many people say, oh, she was a regular jogger. We saw her
right.
jogging normally and frequently, but we don't have that in this case. Maybe she just started it up. But
and that's what's, that is what is, the whole case to me is, I just, it just hurts me to think that she lied and all these people that came forward trying to help in the beginning, all the good intentions and the good graces of people from all over the world trying to help the Papini family. And if she lied, God, that just, it just makes me sick. But again, like I said, I think there is some truth to what she's saying, but what it is, I don't know. The fact that the police are just releasing the sketches now, like you said, it might just be for publicity. Maybe they're putting pressure on her, releasing a little bit here, releasing a little bit there. Maybe she knows there's something coming up that's going to be released, and maybe they're telling her, you want to get ahead of that before we release this, because if you don't, you're going to look worse. I don't know. I wish I could be a fly on the wall and figure this out. I think it's going to be, I hope we find out soon, and I hope it's just quickly and it's dealt with, whatever it is, and we can move on, because if she isn't telling the truth and there were not two female Hispanics, then that is a horrific thing that she has done, and unforgivable in my book to say somebody kidnapped you when they didn't. But it's been known to happen here in Utah. Back in the early 80s, we had a beauty queen, teenage beauty queen, and I'm not going to say her name because it's been so long ago. But she went out to the parking lot after work and disappeared. I believe they found her car door open, and oh my gosh, the panic that everybody had. They were looking in the mountains and everywhere they could for this beauty queen. She's about 19, I think. Well, she shows up at a police station. Come to find out, she just did it for the attention. And I'll never forget her quote. She said, "Everybody is so upset because they didn't find a dead body." And it was a cry for attention, whatever her problem was, and I hope it was fixed. But again, people want to help. When they hear this, they want to put on their boots and go search for somebody, and that's it's a good thing that comes out of it, because that shows that human nature is still pretty darn good. Well, let's talk about human nature that isn't so pretty darn flipping good, as we say here in Utah. We say flip a lot in Utah, so bear with me. Sexual harassment in Hollywood. I'm not the least bit surprised, because every woman, and I'm sure many men, have suffered sexual harassment, and there's different kinds. There's the sexual harassment where, hey, you do what I say and I'll give you a job, or hey, you do what I say and I won't fire you. And then there's the sexual harassment that makes the workplace uncomfortable and difficult to work at, and somebody is being very inappropriate, but not necessarily threatening you with a job, but just being very like I said, inappropriate and disgusting. We are now seeing the floodgates open. And I think Kevin Spacey is done for forever. Don't you, Levi?
You know, I think if these allegations are true, then he should be done forever.
Well, absolutely. I agree. I don't know if you saw the woman who came out and talked about her son when he was 18 years old. Kevin Spacey, I guess, raped him, if I'm not mistaken. And then there was Richard Dreyfuss's son, who said that Kevin Spacey was trying to grope him while in the same room with his father.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, you don't come out and say these things unless they're true. You just don't. And the fact
he's alleged to have done this in public places. I was reading an article where an actor said that they were in a bar, and Kevin Spacey walked up to him and just grabbed him in his crotch in front of people. And, you know, we have another actor that said when he was 14 years old that Kevin Spacey, he was working on a project with Kevin Spacey. He was 14 years old, and he went to this party, and, you know, the adults were drinking. So he went upstairs, was watching TV, and Kevin Spacey came in there and picked him up and put him on the bed and tried to get with him, and he put a stop to it and ran out. And he was 14 mm-hmm. years old when this happened. And Kevin Spacey said that if it happened, he was drunk, which was not a denial. And that speaks volumes because, listen, I can tell you that I've never done that to anyone in my life, no matter how much I drink. So the fact Kevin Spacey made that statement speaks volumes. And he has said that he is bisexual and he is coming out of the closet, and people are slamming him for trying to switch the trajectory of this story into coming out, instead of the fact that he was victimizing people and being a predator, and that has nothing to do with sexual orientation.
Exactly. Not at all. If these stories are true and he has been going after these young boys, young men, that's not homosexual. That's, like you said, a predator, a pedophile, if you will. And to try and use to say he's gay, to me, he doesn't represent anybody I know that's gay that would do those things. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah,
that's disgusting. Another person that it came out today is Louis C.K. Five women are now claiming all kinds of things. That the biggest problem he seems to have, Levi, is he wants to masturbate in front of these women. And apparently he'd ask permission. Others he would just start up right in front of them. And what's just bizarre to me is I've heard these stories about him for years. And you know, I didn't know if they were true or not. I never even actually gave it much of a thought until it actually came out that, yes, five women. And I have a feeling that's just a little drip in this faucet is going to turn on full force, and Louis C.K. is going to be coming under fire. And, you know, people are saying, well, this is just too much. Every little thing that a guy does, they scream harassment. No, that's not it. That's not it at all.
Yeah, you know, this is not someone making, you know, maybe an inappropriate joke, but this is someone mm-hmm. who was inviting masturbating in front of women. I mean, that's
exactly.
not appropriate. I mean,
no matter where you are.
Yeah,
and exactly. Who does that?
And I was watching a report on CNN where he was even calling some of the women, you know, decades after it happened and apologized for it, allegedly. So, I mean, this is rampant. And you said that you had heard rumblings of this before. I mean, we see in so many of these sexual harassment cases rumblings of it. And we even know that it happens, and sometimes they still keep their job. I mean, look at Bill O'Reilly and at Fox News in 2004. He was caught on tape sexually harassing a producer, and he was still on Fox News, and I think he was making around $30 million a year, and it just came out recently that Bill O'Reilly's lawyers had it put in his contract that he could not be fired for sexual harassment unless he was convicted or it was proven in a court of law. So the fact that he would even have to have that in his contract...
Exactly.
Is bizarre.
Remember,
that's not a common stipulation in contracts.
No, it isn't. And remember, it just came out that he paid another woman $32 million. $32 million. And after he paid her, Fox re-signed him again. That's what's disgusting. But what do you have to do to a woman? Go ahead.
And they didn't fire him until this came out in the New York Times, so bravo for the New York Times for publishing this. The advertisers started pulling out, and mm-hmm. if the advertisers pull out, that means that Fox is not going to make any money off the show. So that's when they're like, okay, we got to fire him. So they didn't fire
right.
him because of the harassment. They fired him because of the advertisers pulling out of his program. And
because it was made public.
He's a sicko, and he's a sicko, and now he's, you know, crying, saying that he's mad at God. Well, don't be mad at God. Be mad at yourself. And anybody that works in television or has done television knows that people that have worked on Bill O'Reilly's show, not only is he, you know, a harasser, but he's just a very boorish human being. That he has that reputation. I know a lot of people that said he's rude. He screams at people. People are afraid of him. So this is a guy that's just a sick son of a bitch. And
he really is. Yeah, me too, because it's like, why do you have to be that way? You can be successful and not be a total jerk like that. But Levi, what does a man have to do to a woman where he agrees to give her $32 million so she will sign off and say he did nothing wrong? $32 million. It must have been horrible, and she must have had solid proof. That's what kills me. It's like he can't control himself. Why can't he go out and get a date like a normal person? He's rich and famous. You would think the babes would be hanging all over him. He could get somebody, but that's not what turns him on. That doesn't give him power. What gives him power is to do this to women when he's working with them, so he can keep them down and keep them from rising up, and he's better than them, and he's bigger than them, and he's more powerful than them. He deserves to be off the airwaves. No podcast, just go away, enjoy what money you have left, and leave us alone, you sick bastard.
And honest nobody will sign him after this. And that woman was Lise Will, who is an attorney and a legal analyst. And he did this to an attorney who knows how to sue people.
God.
And there's just no bounds. I mean, if he could do that to a powerful woman like that, he'll do it to anyone, and he has. He's done it to lawyers. He's done it to low-level producers on his show.
It doesn't matter to Bill O'Reilly.
And have you seen
We're
the latest on Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, Corey Haim
apparently
was, according to his friend Corey Feldman, Corey Haim was raped by Charlie Sheen. Again, not that surprising, but I mean, what do you think?
Well, Sheen has denied it, so it's important to point that out. And Corey Haim's mother has said that that's not true either. So,
oh, really?
He's innocent until proven guilty. We got to point that out.
Yes.
But,
absolutely.
I mean, are we really surprised? Because there's been a load of women that says that he assaulted them. And Denise Richards, somebody... it's been reported, very widely reported, that Denise Richards, his ex-wife, he has children with her that they share custody of, and she actually put in court documents regarding a custody battle that she had seen gay porn on his computer, and it, not that it was just gay porn, but the porn looked like the participants were underage. That's what she said.
Oh.
And this was in court documents. And this was years ago. So now we have allegations of him acting inappropriate with a 13-year-old.
Yeah, he was 13.
He's denied it. But I think now people are coming out and saying, you know what, just because someone is popular, they're well-known in the industry, they're powerful, they're rich, they're famous, that should not stop us from coming out and saying that they have acted inappropriate. They've abused us. They've harassed us. And the floodgates are opening. And that's good. And a lot of people are saying, and I see this all over on social media, why now? Why now? Why now? And I think that the reason people are doing it now is because they were afraid. I mean, think about it. I mean, if you're a young actress or a young producer, you're just getting started in someone that's making $30 million a year or more, that's extremely powerful, that your boss does something to you, are you going to report that? What's going to happen if you have no clout?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I can understand people not coming forward, and I don't think we should judge people harshly because they didn't come forward as soon as it happened.
Exactly, because like you said, you have to remember these guys are very powerful in Hollywood, and it's scary for them to come forward like that. I just, while you were talking, I Googled sexual harassment, and let me read you the headlines, okay? From the Daily Beast, Mariah Carey accused of sexual harassment. Mad Men writer accuses creator Matthew Weiner of sexual harassment. Let's see, the LAPD is forming a task force to investigate harassment and assault in show business. That's just for typing in, and there's more. It could just go on and on and on. That's just from typing it in. And Levi, have you ever? Do you ever feel like you've been sexually harassed or someone's been inappropriate with you?
No.
You're lucky. I mean, and there's still time, young man. Because, like I've always said, you're smart. You're one of the smartest people I know. You're a great broadcaster, but you're still a puppy. And I'm telling you, Levi, gotta watch out. Keep your eyes open, because they are out there, and they'll make your life miserable. Any woman, in fact, every woman I know, has been sexually harassed at some point. Some more than others. I mean, I could just sit here and tell stories all night long. But there's nothing you can do about it. You know, it's over, it's done. I'm almost, I'm a little older than I was, and I don't get around people too much, so it hasn't happened for a long time. But believe me, you ask any woman over the age of 20, and at the very least, she will tell you that someone, if not many, have been very inappropriate sexually with them, and that's why I think this is great that we're talking about it. Levi, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Let's talk about you and what you have going on in your life, my dear. What is going on with your podcast, Crime and Scandal?
Okay, so Crime and Scandal, everybody go to iTunes. If you have iTunes and are the Apple Podcast app on your iPhone, and type in Crime and Scandal and click subscribe. And also, if you like Crime and Scandal, please leave a 5-star rating and review on there. That helps a lot. But we have a lot of good cases that we've been getting into on the podcast. A couple of weeks ago, you can listen to this. I did an interview with Cheryl McCollum on the Mara Murray case, which is a very sad, fascinating case with a lot of twists, turns, and angles that I think a lot of people will find very interesting. Mara Murray, and I did an interview with you, Tricia, on the 10-year anniversary of Stacey Peterson's disappearance.
That's right.
She
was
married to the disgraced Bolingbrook cop, and she went missing, and she's not been found. No one has been charged, and her husband, Drew Peterson, is serving time in prison for killing his third wife, Kathleen. Stacy was his fourth. Will Stacy ever get justice? That's the big question, and we tackle that. And I have a podcast up with criminal profiler Pat Brown, and we talk about Sherry Papini. She has studied this case, and we go over all sorts of different angles and theories of what could have possibly happened to her. So that's coming up on the podcast, Crime and Scandal. If you don't have iTunes, you can just type in Crime and Scandal in your search bar, and you can listen to it on the internet as well.
And everybody, I would highly recommend that you listen to Levi's podcast. So it's fascinating. Like I said, Levi, you can remember facts like nobody's business. And I enjoyed our discussion about the Stacey Peterson case and Drew Peterson. And I want to repeat on my show that Drew Peterson is in prison, and I really hope he is somebody's prison bitch, because I'm telling you, that guy needs to be knocked down a lot. So, Levi, thank you, my dear. We'll have you on again real soon, okay?
Thanks for having me, Tricia. You have a great day.
You bet.
Bye.
You too now. Bye-bye. Levi Page, everybody, with Crime and Scandal, his podcast. What a great guy. And you know what's so cool about him? I always tease him because he's so much younger than I am, because I'm an old bat, and he's like young and vivacious. And Levi Page started his podcast and his website and his true crime career, if you will, when he was younger. I mean, I think it was like 20. When I was 20, I was like, okay, where's the kegger? Let's go party. I certainly wasn't thinking along the lines of a career or anything. So he's smart. He got started early, and I just think he's absolutely amazing. Okay, I'm going to tell you something that we're going to be doing, hopefully sooner rather than later. We are going to be having a five-minute YouTube video Monday through Friday of a crime update. Yours truly will be hosting, and every morning we will give you the latest in true crime. We'll ask if anybody wants to join us. It'll be 5 minutes Monday through Friday in the morning. We're getting it set up now. I do have to go out of town and go to work for a little bit, so it may be a month or so, but it's coming. I'm gonna make it happen before the end of the year, I promise you. Okay, everybody, thanks a lot. Be safe and be back here on Blog Talk Radio for Web Sleuth Radio next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Trisha Griffith saying so long, and make sure and check out websleuth.com, okay? Bye-bye.